You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine. This week on The Weekly Wrap, my special guest is Peter Gilchrist, who with 40 years of personal experience in the industry, has worked with the best of the best. We admire Peter for his raw and down-to-earth honesty and humour, which you'll discover in this podcast, where we discuss what gets in the way of growth, the impact of digital, and the five videos that you need as an agent right now. We also discuss why as humans we don't have the ability to change our choices as much as we think we do, and why Peter has no interest at all in goal setting with his very successful clients. Plus, he reveals the characteristics of number one agencies in most areas. I hope you enjoy this very insightful and fun chat with Peter Gilchrist. All right, so welcome, Peter. How are you going?
Very, very well today, Sam.
I have been so looking forward to chatting to you again. You're not only speaking at ARIC this year, but you've also just completed some leadership and growth training with Shane Smolin with a group of principals on lockdown. So what did you do to them while they were on lockdown? And I guess the second question for you really is, it was all about growth. What do you find really gets in the way of growth these days?
So the 3 days was a bit special for me, especially working alongside somebody like Shane. And what we set out to do was to actually keep it at a very strategic level. What we didn't want is what agents normally do, which is, you know, if you're talking about whether they should open a new office or not, and then somebody asks them whether they would put a flyer in 100 letterboxes or 150, they go off chasing down that hole and want to talk about all the detail. And so what we tried to do was to keep everybody for 3 days at a very strategic level. There was no death by PowerPoint. There was not a lot of detail. It was simply all about what you were doing now, what your vision is, how that fitted in with your personal vision. There was a lot on wealth creation. There was a lot on health creation. There was a lot on life and then how that fitted back into the business. And honestly, on day one, I thought, I don't know if this is working because everyone was asking all the detailed questions.
Yep.
How many flyers should we put out? But by the middle of day two, everyone dropped in. And then from then, there were just sparks flying everywhere. And I don't take notes very often, but I was taking notes myself. There was just some amazing decisions made. Offices being opened, offices being closed. People looking at the way they're operating within their business, people getting out of sales, big, big strategic decisions being made. And yeah, I'd have to say it was one of the best things I've ever done. So really happy with that at the end of it. In terms of what actually gets in the way of growth, a couple of things. Firstly, from management point of view, I've done an exercise all around the world, basically five different continents, where we get managers to compare what they're doing to their opposition. And it's a way of actually finding differentiation and the way forward. And there's four major things come up every time for management. The first one is the number one agency in any area normally has, this is really simple stuff, but has more salespeople than anybody else. The number two thing is they win the marketing war. So whether you combine auction and marketing together or how you do that, they win the marketing. They sell more VPA. They're more aggressive around VPA. The third thing that I find is the number of property managements. And so normally they have the largest property management operation. And that's pretty obvious if you think about it because they're getting 10% of the sales straight through to the sales side. And then the fourth one is a bit different. The fourth one I find is the attitude and the culture of that organization. And if I ask managers to use words to describe the number one organization in their area, they quite often say that they're very arrogant, very aggressive. And for 98% of the industry, that is a negative. For me as a coach, it's a positive because I see it in the light for what it is. It just means they're more aggressive. They're here to do business. They normally dress better, they're sharper, they're successful, they're making money, and the whole thing is sort of filters back through everything else. So those are the four things for a manager. In terms of a salesperson, It gets a bit interesting for me. As you know, I've been doing one-on-one coaching intensely, so it's not a matter of me ringing somebody every day at 4 o'clock and saying,
how you doing, how you going,
have you done it, you know, and driving them insane. So I have an intense relationship with those that I coach. And so one of the biggies that has come up for me in terms of what's getting in the way is the word busyness. And what I mean by that is every single person, it doesn't matter whether you're in real estate or not, when you're doing your job, you have a point at which you get busy. And I think there's three levels. I think there's busy, there's crazy busy, and then there's overwhelm, out of control busy.
Yeah.
And when I ring someone as a coach and say to them, how's the week gone? Quite often someone will say to me, oh, it's insane. And we have to sort of look at our language around this. If you find yourself saying, oh my God, I am so busy, it's insane, or I'm out of control, this is ridiculous, then what I know is you've reached the third stage of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I see in coaching is that if you do reach the third stage of it, or even the second stage of it for some people, you then stop going any further. So that's where growth stops. So for me, it isn't a matter of reaching for the stars and going for it. For me, it's a matter of coming back to here and now and saying, what is actually getting in the way of your growth? And the first thing is, listeners, if I ask them to write down the number of listings they are comfortable carrying, that is the first indication of where their busyness starts. And most in this industry, sadly, this industry is in all sorts of trouble in terms of volume. Most people would write down somewhere between 5 and 12. And there's lots of reasons why people stop at this volume. And I've just done a 45-minute audio on that. And if you wanted to make that available to anybody who asks you for it, Sam, I'm perfectly happy to supply that to you. So I've done it on the stories we tell ourselves as to why we can't go any further. Stupid things like, you can't possibly give customer service to more than 10 people. There are pundits out there saying you should stop at 5. That's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. The other big one is, I can't open more than 7, so I don't more than 7. Really dumb stuff, really stupid stories that we tell ourselves. So anybody asks you, I'm happy to make that whole 45 minutes on getting through the volume available. So what gets in the way is we get to busy and then we pull back until we're not so busy. So for salespeople, what they actually do is stop listing. If they think that they can handle 10, they get to 10. Then they get to 11, they start to feel, hang on, this is a bit crazy, I've got to sell stuff. So they pull back until they get back down to 6 or 7 again. And of course, what this creates, it sets up this whole good month, bad month, good quarter, bad quarter. So busyness is really a big one. The most important number for most people that I coach is the number of properties they're comfortable carrying.
Let's dig into that a bit more, because there is only so much capacity that everyone has on a Saturday. And I think more and more you're getting the question from vendors, will you be at my open every Saturday? All things being equal, you've got several listings on the go. You've got some auctions on a Saturday. You've got some opens on a Saturday. And you literally can't fit in anything more. So when the vendor says, are you going to be at everything? What do you say?
What you've just voiced is what some of your listeners will be going, yep, 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 she's got it. She's on it. That's me, you know. By the time I run a couple of auctions and open a few, I go home and I put the back of my hand on my forehead and say, oh my God, what a day. And the idea of not having 8 listings but having 20 at that stage, it just blows your mind. You just go, I don't know how they do it. Well, they freaking do it.
Yeah.
And when you get to this busyness, I'll just digress for a minute, to this point where you are flat out, there's 2 things you can do. And this is what I see as a coach. The first one is you can contract. You go, oh my God, I'm out of control. So I contract. And listings will walk right past me. They'll bite me on the nose, but I'm not open to them. And that brings about the second word. You either contract or you open.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people pay me a lot of money to teach them around this busyness period about opening. And so we look at, why do you close down? Who taught you about money? Who taught you about delegation? Who taught you about your work ethic, who gave you that. We might look backwards a bit. And then we get to the point where you have what I call moments of truth, which is where you can look forward and say, I've got 10 listings. Normally I'd stop here. I'm going to open now and I'm going to go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and I'm going to figure it out what I need to support this. Now, in terms of the volume, that question you have just asked, a lot of people use the excuse, oh, everybody just wants me. No. They just want me. I'm such a hotshot. And the way that I run open days, it's the things that I say. I'm a genius. Yeah, sure you are. You say special things at open days that make people buy properties. It's a load of rubbish. People have got to get past it. So the first thing is, this only comes from ego. This is born out of ego. If people want to understand why they think they're the only one that knows how to run open days and why they think that everybody needs them and why they want to please everybody, they should get their caliper done. We have the rights to real estate for caliper. It's a $250 item. We give you a 15-minute debrief where we will tell you why you're acting like that. In fact, Sam, you can, to the first three people that hit your inbox, you can give three free calipers away. So $750 worth. And what this will tell them is why they do it this way. And I'm going to talk about that a bit more in a minute. So this whole thing, they want me, makes you feel good, but it's rubbish. How on earth do top people run 30, 40, 50 listings? I have one person that I work with who's got in excess of 200 exclusives. How on earth can he be doing that and doing 1.7, 1.8 million if one can only handle 5 or 10? So all of that nonsense has to go. Now, the second question you said is, they want me to run the open. Are you going to be at the open? And what this comes down to is setting expectations for your vendors. So when you're listing with them, what we are inclined to do is to go in and just vomit all over the table. We just tell, I'm it, and I'll be there. I'll answer your call 24 hours a day. I'll open it twice and again on Wednesdays. I'll do it all. We do that because we think if we don't, we're going to miss the listing. Now, what experienced people do is they actually set expectations differently. And if you are a good agent listening to this and you're wanting to build the numbers of listings you're working with, everybody doesn't need to be open every week. That's the first thing. You can have PAs that can help you do these open days. There are other people in your office. There's four levels, right? One, they don't need to be open every week. Two, you've got a PA. Three, there's other people in your office that have just started. They've only got two listings. Go and ask them to run your open days. And by the way, don't give them any commission for it. Just tell them they'll get the experience. Don't be giving this stuff all away. And then the fourth one is you can actually have people who are specialists in running open days. And I had a company about 10 years ago that did this, specialists in running open days. And we actually had lawyers. We had one woman who was ex-United Nations. There's people out there that would love to do it. We trained them within an inch of their lives. And they ran them. So with all of those things, you can build your listings up. The biggest one, though, is to set the expectations differently. They don't all need to be open. So when you sit down with somebody, instead of vomiting, I'll open it every day. I'll be there because I'm a whiz and the things that I say are special. You sort of try and get past that. And then you say to them, listen, let's do two or three open days. And we then need a strategy meeting to figure out how it's going. We may take a break at one stage. Look, we just had an open day on my house about 4 weeks ago. We ran around like idiots for 3 hours getting the place absolutely spick and span. Unless these people are in an auction situation, if you've got other listings, you can say what we do is we have a massive pool of buyers. We run one off into the other and so on. So setting expectations is a massive part of that. You do not need to be everywhere all the time. So get past that, and suddenly your 10 to 20 doesn't look so bad. And the last thing that I want to say around this is that people have either been taught it's okay to get other people to do stuff for you, or they've been taught the age old, if you want a job done properly, you do it yourself.
Mm.
Yeah. If that's what you were taught all your life, you feel like you need to be at the opens. You feel like you need to open it on Saturday, Sunday, and every single week. You're not going to get past your busy point. It's not going to happen, you see. And then the last thing I just want to say is that with all of this, it is possible to make it so the system creates the service. The system creates the service. I have a team around me that puts everything in place. I have specialists for open days. Yes, you can list with a one-man band. I get that. But who's going to take phone calls when they have a day off? All of that is covered with my team, you see. So that's where we go.
I really like the idea of the specialist of the open home. That actually makes it sound like you've got a couple of rock stars there who are really great at talking to people and paying them attention. So you definitely can turn it around, right?
Yes. So that's how you set up their expectations. So suddenly that whole thing of I can only open 7 on a Saturday. Yeah, that's cool. But you only need 2 more people to open 21, which means you can probably hold 35 listings. Get on it.
So you have been a coach for a long, long time, and I've known you for a long time, and you definitely have a way with words, as if people are unfamiliar with Peter Gilchrist have just heard. You work with many of the top agents. Where do the biggest breakthroughs come from them?
I get people who ring me and say, would you work with me? They're already doing $2 million gross, and you sort of feel like saying, what on earth do you think I can do for you? And in a lot of cases, though, it's as much about the whole life thing as it is about going from 2 to 2.6. They love to have someone to talk to who keeps them very balanced. I don't take any nonsense from clients. You know, I heard some woman the other day say she was ringing her children from the office at 6:45 when they went to bed. That's nonsense. That is just ridiculous. You're missing the whole point of everything that we're doing. So they come to me, I think they come to me, one, for real estate, but two, what can they learn around the whole life model? And it's really interesting, Sam, that at the moment, everybody says, you know, you've got to make different choices. Just change your choices. You, young man, you need to make better choices. Yeah, really? What neuroscience, and what I certainly understand from my coaching, neuroscience is saying that we don't actually have the ability to change our choices as much as we think we do. So when someone stands on stage and said, this is what I do, if you're not wired already to do that stuff, making change is really hard. And what they're saying is that we crawled out of a puddle 20 million years ago, you were born whenever, 30, 40, 60 years ago. And once you're born, you bring with you stuff from your ancestors. So your ancestors give you things like high cholesterol, all the good stuff, heart disease, a bit of depression sometimes, and hopefully you get some of the happy stuff as well. But you get that handed down and you bring it with you. Then once you're born, you actually filter everything through three things, your body and your mind, those two, and then external stimulus. So we get this external stimulus. It's all filtered through body and mind. So those three things make up the way we operate, and they make up the way that we're wired. And the reality is you are wired to be getting exactly what you're getting right now. Whatever that is, if you've been doing 400,000 for the last 3 or 4 years, it's because you're wired that way. Now, everyone says you need to change your choices and you can get to $1 million. You know, you've got to watch these people. You should do this. You should do that. It's not that easy. And what the scientists are saying is you are so wired that when you get opportunities or situations in front of you, you will act in a certain way, whether you like it or not. Now, that then begs the question, so how do I change? How do I open, which is the word I used before, and go from 500 to a million? How do I go from a million to 2 million? I've been trying now for 10 years. And the answer is the word that I've been teaching for 30 years now, which is awareness. It's awareness on how you are wired that allows you to go from 1 million to 2 million, not punching the air, not setting a goal and working backwards, and sure as hell not writing it on your shower wall 200 times. Sad little secret is that's not going to work. And if it does, it'll be short-lived. You see, with this wiring, what they're saying is, what were you taught? And I heard a radio program the other day, I was in New Zealand, and they asked listeners to ring up and tell them, what were the lies that your grandmother told you, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, this would be interesting. First guy rings up and says, I loved my grandmother. She was the sweetest little old lady. She looked me in the eye when I was 8 years old, looked me straight in the eye and said, if you sit so close to the fire, your kidneys will melt, right?
Yeah.
This guy said, I'm 53 years old. I still can't sit close to the fire. Another woman rang up and said, I loved her. She was so cool. I just adored her. She looked me straight in the eye and said, if you eat that apple core, a tree will grow in your stomach. So what happens is these things all get set up as triggers. And it's like if you 5 years ago ate oysters and got food poisoning. If someone puts a plate of oysters down in front of you, you want to vomit. It's the same. All these things get added up and stored in the body, and then they trigger us. So things like, and this is what you can find out with a caliper psych profile, is one of the biggies that we're finding now is it measures your accommodation factor. And your accommodation factor is how much you like to just help others. And if you've got a high accommodation factor, it's a pain in the ass, quite frankly. If you're a manager and you've got a high accommodation factor, you'll never get anything done, because when somebody puts their head around the door and uses those wonderful words, have you got a minute, you can never say no. If you're a salesperson and you're in a cubicle with everybody else and someone says, hey, look at this, you're the first to get up and go and look at it. Do you want to come and look at a house? Yeah, whatever. Come and have a coffee. Yeah, I'm there. Because your accommodation is so high. Now, if you're not aware of that, that plays out as a racket that goes on basically till the day you die. And you have no awareness, so there will be no change. The basic line here, Sam, is no awareness, no change.
So you really need to know what your limiting beliefs are and understand how you react to given situations before you can make any change. Let me just try and unpack this a little bit. I know people do get frustrated because we all love going to ARIC and we sit and listen to people on stage talk about their stories and what they do. And then we go back to the office with a million ideas and we think, okay, I've got to do this, 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 and this, but kind of fall over. And you're saying that's why, is because...
That's why.
Yeah.
It's exactly why. Those people on stage are not you, you're not them. They're wired to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym five times before 5 o'clock, sell 10 houses and be home at 8 o'clock at night and just have this extraordinary life. That's how they're wired. That's not how you're wired. And you looking at them and saying, I'm going to do everything they're doing, it's not going to work for you. You need to become aware of why you make your current choices. And then what happens is once you become aware, the next thing that happens is you get MOT, moment of truth. You see, you don't need discipline. Everyone says to me, you got to have more discipline. You're wired for discipline. You can't just get discipline. Where do you go and buy that shit? You can't do it. And I can't give it to you as a coach. What I can give you, though, is the awareness that you're not sitting long enough and making enough calls. Now, if you have it, then maybe tomorrow you do 25 calls and you stand up, but instead of just walking away, you go, hang on, this is a moment of truth that he's talking about. So I can either walk away or I can make a different decision here and now and sit and make another 25 calls. Which one do I want to do? So this is not discipline. This is actually a work intelligence. That's all that's needed is a work intelligence. Which is the smartest thing to do? I've got no listings.
Yeah.
I walk away or I make another 25 calls. That's not really not a hard one to figure out. Just use your brain and it'll tell you what to do. Then just sit there and do it. See how you go.
What everyone says is the solution these days, and I'd be interested to hear your opinion on this, is that we are wired to do certain things and we do have certain strengths. I mean, I know I'm fairly good at what my strengths and weaknesses are. Like my strength is creativity and I'm terrible at admin. Is it a case of recognizing what your weaknesses are and then being able to say, all right, well, this is where I need help. Should I outsource this? Is that something that you would agree with?
Yeah, at one level it is, and surprisingly at one level it's not. What you just said is your strength is creativity. So you get rid of everything that's not creativity. You look at the highest and best use of your time, which is creativity. So you do more and more creativity and you make sure that you're like a comet. The stream goes out the back and you make sure you've got somebody taking care of it. Now, what is happening in real estate? There's two things. firstly, everyone's getting a bit unsure about the whole prospecting thing because the same prospecting things we did 10, 20 years ago don't seem to be working. So there's two things I'll say. The first one, and we may get a chance to talk about this before time runs out, but the first one is digital is going to change everything because a lot more people, especially if they're creative or very clever in the digital space, are going to be able to do a lot more prospecting. The volume is going to change in this business, and the volume has to change. Our volume is screwed. The average number of listings held in this industry, I'm imagining, I don't know this from research, but it's probably 3 or 4 listings. The number of prospecting calls made in a day, I guarantee on average, you'd be lucky if it was 5. And then the numbers of listings we hold, we are too cottage industry around this. So it's not working. So firstly, digital is going to change it. The other one that I want to say is this. You cannot delegate prospecting to hot and warm people. And my experience is people say, I've just taken on someone because I don't like doing the calls. I'm going to get somebody else to do the calls. It will not work. 99.999%, it will not work. It'll just end in tears, I promise you. So what you have to do is get rid of the stuff, you know, get rid of the detail. Salespeople have to get rid of the admin and don't do that. But they must not delegate prospecting, in my opinion. Yes, you can have someone and sit there and make cold calls. They're normally a kid, young person. They might be able to do it for a while, but then they can't keep it up. It just blows their mind. And it's still a kid making calls saying, hello, how are you today? And can I have some money? You can have a buyer's agent, and we're not doing teams today, but you can have a buyer's agent whose part of their role is to make 200-300 calls a week, but they should only do the cold calling. They may do some warm calls if you get behind in it, but the whole point of teams and technology now is to build a lead agent to the point where all they're doing is prospecting. That's what they do. It's like going back to open days again. If you're running a lot of open days and you're in Sydney where you're getting 20 or 30 people through each open day, if you're accommodating, you're going to spend all week trying to ring the 300 people you just met in the weekend. If you're really smart, what you do is at each open day, everybody's trained simply to say one line. And the line is, are you renting? Is that why you're out looking? And what will happen is if they're not renting, they'll push back and they go, no, we own our own home. You say, really, whereabouts is that? So they'll tell you where it is. You put a red dot beside them. The lead agent must ring the red dots. Let your PAs ring the rest. So it's all about just getting to the highest, best use of your time.
Absolutely. That's really good advice. Just going back to prospecting for a moment, I remember the first time I saw you speak at a conference, I think it was at Ideas Exchange a few years ago, and you really made me laugh in the whole audience when you were talking about letterbox dropping. And I suppose this leads into the topic of digital, but you said some really funny things around like agents with pictures on them and putting your pictures around the place and to just stop doing that because it's, again, we're sort of talking about egos and things like that. Now, do you see the equivalent of people doing that stuff on digital, and what sort of approach should agents be taking on digital?
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is a massive topic. The letterbox drop has been our historical way of getting to masses, and we'd stuff in letterboxes. I think what you're referring to is I believe that this industry is totally self-obsessed. If you were in doubt, we send another photo of ourselves out. Please replace your old photograph of me because this one is taken from the left-hand side and I think it does me more justice. That's the sort of stuff we do. It's impossible to get agents to write anything that doesn't start with I. We're totally self-obsessed. It's like knocking on doors and introducing yourself. It's a crude thing to do unless you're going to keep it up every few weeks, keep going back and back. And so we haven't really done much more than just listed, just sold. We love doing just listed because we're proud of ourselves and here's another photo of me. And we love doing just sold because I've sold it. I just made 25 grand just to make your day bad. And here's another photo of me. Now, that's what we've been doing. So everyone's got to get in a video. 80% of our communication will be by video within the next 4 or 5 years. There are 5 videos everyone needs to get to. The first one is a profile video. And what we're seeing is more of letterbox dropping in these profile videos. If you think when you do a profile video that anyone gives a rat's ass about this is Sarah and Jimmy, my little children. This is me playing the guitar. This is me doing whatever. If you think that is of any interest to anybody, you are sadly mistaken. When you do your profile video, you have to talk about the people that are listening. So a profile video means you say, I love this area. The people that live in this area are so discerning. They're real estate obsessed, and we all love that together. You talk about them. You do not talk about yourself, right? That's the change that needs to be made. The other videos you need, just quickly, everybody needs to look at their marketing packages, your VPA packages, and video must be included in every single one of your listing packages. Third one is your market updates. You've got to stop sending out 20 pages. Nobody reads past the first two paragraphs. If you think they do and you want to try something, on second page, just put, if you ring this number, we'll give you a bottle of Moët Chandon. Do not worry, you won't have to buy much champagne. So stop sending out 20 pages. Market updates have got to be on video. So that's the third one. The fourth one is helpful videos. The fifth one is testimonials on video. So those are the five videos, five types of videos that you need. Now, those videos have got to be all about the people watching that video, not about you. REA have just come out and said that your property videos are better without you in them. That makes total sense to me. They're also saying those videos should be no more than 15, 20 seconds. So they're really shortening it. Now, where I'm heading with that is I believe that you should make a two-minute one, right, that goes into some detail of the property, but you should have your 20-second one. If I'm looking at properties, I push the 20-second button, and if I like the place, then I want the two-minute one, but otherwise I move on. That's where that's going. But overall, we have to stop talking about ourselves. We have to start giving value. This industry is in trouble with its relevance. Everybody's hacking away at our income. We've got REA, we've got Open Agent, Find My Local Agent. They're all hacking away at it. So our relevance is becoming more and more under question. The way we answer that is by adding value. We need to be giving value. And I have a process that I call 4GA, which is four gives and then an ask. Four gives and an ask. And I beg everyone to adopt it.
No more needing to do close-ups on watches or anything like that. None of those slow-mo things are needed anymore.
No.
And REA's research is really interesting because they said last year that there's no bigger turn-off in video, I think, than those horrible stitched-together photos with music behind them. So they're going to go too. Two more questions for you, actually, Peter. Well, we've got you here. So first of all, you're going to be in Transform this year. This is your first time as a Transform coach. And we've just talked about how difficult change is. And for whatever reason, these guys that have joined Transform for the next 30 days. So in a month, they're looking at making some significant changes to take them to the next level in their business. Now, we know from experience in Transform that the change doesn't happen in a month. The change usually happens well after that. But tell me, what do you think these guys really need to focus on in the 30 days to make sure that they do and can make lasting change for the rest of their careers?
Yeah, so the first biggie for me is that word again, which is awareness. If there's no awareness, there's no change. So they need to be very careful around what they already know. So what you already know holds you in a position for the reasons that we've already talked about. So they must go into this program in an open way, ready to learn and ready to try anything new. It's quite interesting to look at the whole process of goal setting. And I'm sure that this program is going to be asking them to set different goals. If you set goals for too far out, nothing's going to happen. And I now, after 30 years doing this, have no interest in goal setting the way that we currently do it. What a coach normally says is, you're doing 300,000. What do you want to get to? And the salesperson says, yeah, I'd really like to write 600,000. And so then we work back and we say, so if you want to write 600,000, you need to do that. And we work it all the way back. I don't think that works. I think that's a lot of nonsense. The first thing you need to do is to become aware of how you operate and why you're not already at 600,000. So what would start for me is caliper. You do your caliper. You get the feedback, and that will tell you where you're falling down, where you're likely to be not opening into what is in front of you. So get that done first. It's a brilliant way of gaining awareness. Then what I would do is I would look at everything that I'm taught over that period of time. But instead of setting goals, I want you to give up on the outcome. And if they don't write anything else down, have them write this down. Give up on the outcome. There's three things about how we operate. The first one is we tell ourselves stories from the minute we wake up in the morning to the minute we go to sleep. Stories go on in our minds, and I actually have methodology to stop those. That's what happens. The stories come over and over and over and over. The sad thing is that we turn those stories into our strategies. Because of our story, we set up a strategy based on the story. And then the third part of that is we go from strategies to outcomes. So all day long, we're setting up stories. Oh my goodness, I'm in this program for a whole month. The strategy is I'm pretty good where I am, but I'm looking for new stuff, stuff that I can do. And the outcome is I want to go from 300 to 400. It's all screwed before it starts. So what I want to do is give up on the outcome. You have no idea how good you can be at this business if you let that outcome go and you come back to what is here right now. So it's a matter of being present. I have lots of ways of coaching people into being present. And so I have no interest in what you're going to do next financial year. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. You're trying to go from 300 to 600. Chances are you can do a million and you're trying to get to 600 within the next 12 months. Give that up. What's more important to me, Sam, is what are you going to do this afternoon? What are you going to do tomorrow morning when you get to work? Now, just leave it at that. This afternoon, what are you going to do? What's the best and highest best use of your time? There's three parts to your day. Most people know what they are. I've talked about them at length before. What are you going to do this afternoon? When you drive into work tomorrow, instead of worrying about your 12-month goal, you have no control over 12 months away other than what you do right now. Now, some people say, but what you do right now should be based on where. No, look at your market, look at what is available, and do everything. Stop setting limits on yourself and go for every call. List every property that's available. Build it. Work out how you can get more volume. Do you need a PA? That's all guided to you by what's in your pipeline. Do I need a PA? Stay back here. And if you put one day together after another, one after the other together, you'll look up in a couple of 3 months' time and you will have blown your goal into the wings. So when they're coming into a program like this, openness is a biggie for me.
The key to moving forward is moving forward. There you go. There's an award for studying. So what you're really saying is keep taking steps forward, because if you keep taking steps forward, by the time you look back, you'll see how far you've come.
People can say, but what if you've gotten a goal? Well, then don't set a goal, set an intention. My intention is to get as much out of my marketplace as I possibly can. Every last listing, every last call that needs to be made, that is my intention. You know, your wonderful Wayne Bennett, I think he's rugby league, isn't he? I don't watch TV, but Wayne Bennett is one of the greatest coaches in Australian history. And I heard him speak on ABC. He said, listen, what we do is we set up our strategy, and that's another whole subject, obviously, because then you come back to what prospecting should you be doing, how should you be prospecting, and what digital you're doing, and so on. But once you set the strategy, he says, we set it and we play to it for 90 minutes. We don't ever look up. We play our strategy. And the scoreboard takes care of itself. So with a lot of this stuff, it's too much about get here, go here. No. What are you doing this afternoon? Sit down and make these calls. When you come back tomorrow, sit down and make more. Where's your pipeline now? And your pipeline is the window to your business. It's what tells you when you need a PA. It's what tells you when you're going to be too busy, so you need help, and so on. Sit down. Prospect. Prospect, and then put your head up in a couple of 3 months and see where you're at. Don't worry about that long-term goal.
Absolutely. Someone said at a coaching session that I was at a while ago, I think it might have been Justin Nickerson or someone like that, that said real estate is actually all about just having better conversations with more people.
Yeah, can't argue with that. again, for me, yeah, it's the awareness of where you're at first. See, I can teach you how to prospect 59 different ways, but if you're not open to growing that base, nothing's going to happen. But yeah, better quality conversations with lots more people. They're absolutely right.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for your time today. You've given so much of your knowledge and experience to our listeners. So we're very grateful for the time that you've spent with us and can't wait to see you again at ARIC and in Transform as well.
Thanks so much, Sam.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.